One of my mentors had a good rule of thumb for living a life. He said, there's three things you need to do. He said, pray, read your Bible, and go to church. He said, do those three things. He said, your life won't be easy. He said, there's going to be problems. There's going to be times of trial. There's going to be hard times. He said, but pray, read your Bible, and go to church. He said, do that faithfully. And when you do that faithfully, when the times of trial do come, you at least got a leg to stand on. You've got a safe harbor to come into in the times of trial. And I found that to be true. Prayer, Christian community, the power of brothers and sisters in Christ holding tight to us in times of trouble, and the Word of God really are those tie downs, if you will. Those things we tie our life down to. That in times of trouble, it keeps the storm from blowing us away. And for many of us here this morning, the Word of God is that. I know if I was to inject you with true serum right now and say, hey, what's that Bible verse that's always been your friend in times of trouble? Most of us here this morning are going to have some verse, even if we can't give you chapter and verse, we're going to have some place in our life, some verse of Scripture in our heart that gives us hope in times of trouble, that gives us peace in times of trial. For many of us this morning, that verse of Scripture is the 23rd Psalm. I mean, that's the verse that so many of us cling to. Philip Yancey tells a story about doing a funeral for a man he didn't know. Just a man he'd met through the years, didn't really know him. He went to do the funeral, and this man didn't go to church. And none of his friends went to church. And so after he said a few words to the grave, they all kind of sat there, as men do, kicking the dirt, not really knowing what to say. And one of them said, hey, preacher, what's that verse in the Bible about some sheep? About some valleys of death or something? So the 23rd Psalm, he started saying it, and everyone around that gravesite began to together recite the 23rd Psalm. For many of us, that's an anchor. A verse that's an anchor in life. For me, there are two verses in my ministry that are anchors. One is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever will believe will not perish but have eternal life. For me, that's an anchor for me. That tells me two things. First is that if we believe, there's hope. We may be like that video. I don't know where you are. I love that video because there's these moments where you see you're driving in the fog, and then the fog lifts and you see what's really happening. I love that juxtaposition there of the fog versus reality. And sometimes in our life, we're in the fog, you know? Maybe right now, you're in the fog. Maybe right now, you feel like the world's on top of you and you're about to explode. You might be in that time where you're in the fog. Now, when you see the fog lift, you see the reality that actually life's there. But you can't see life because of the fog that surrounds you. I don't know what you're feeling. But the truth is, God loves you, no matter what you're feeling. And then the other reason why I love John 3:16 is, now it's a big fancy theological word, so stay with me. It tells us who God loves. Whosoever. And you know what whosoever means? This is complicated, so stay with me. Whosoever means whosoever. Everybody, y'all. No matter what's happened in your life, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what's going to happen in your life, God loves you. So John 3:16 for me is a verse that's an anchor for my ministry. One of my other anchor verses is John 10:10. You've heard me say it a lot. The thief comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Let's focus on that first part real quick. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief is the devil. The thief is the force of wickedness in this world. The thief comes to kill, to steal, to kill, and destroy. To steal your joy. Friends, there's nothing the devil wants to do more than make you miserable. Do you hear me? There's nothing the devil wants to do more than steal meaning from your life. There's nothing he wants to do more than take from you that which is precious. He wants to steal your joy, steal your life, steal your hope. He wants to steal what is good from you and put in something bad. You don't steal something bad. Nobody would steal my Ole Miss tickets. I mean, really, there's no reason to steal that. You know? You don't steal something worthless. You steal something good. So the devil wants to steal the joy, the peace, the hope, the life in your life. He wants to take that from you. He wants to steal that. He wants to kill you. He wants to end your life, y'all. The devil loves nothing more than killing God's people, both spiritually and literally. The wages of sin are death. The devil longs to kill God's people and destroy. He loves, life is found in God. I don't know where your life is found this morning, but if your life is not found in God, you aren't really living. You aren't truly experiencing life. And so when God is gone, life is destroyed. The devil wants to separate you from God and then destroy your life. He wants to steal your joy, kill what is precious, and destroy you. Okay, keep that in mind. So let's remember, the devil, not a good person, okay? Not a good person. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Christ's goal for us is life. So those are really, if you're going to ask me what are the two verses that my entire ministry is based on, I'd say more or less John 3:16 and John 10:10. Those are the two anchor verses of my ministry. And the John 10:10 passage, it gives us that image of something there. We see here, we see the contrast between the thief coming to give death, and we see the contrast between God wanting to give life. You got the image up there. You remember, I was trying to find a good image. Remember, I used to love Tom and Jerry. You remember Tom and Jerry? Favorite cartoon when I was going to love. It's just a great cartoon. Good, wholesome violence. I mean, it's great, you know? And Tom's always tempted to go, you know, do something stupid to Jerry. There were episodes where you'd have the good Tomcat saying, "No, Tom, don't do it." And the bad one saying, "No, Tom, it'd be awesome." He had the two competing images there. In our life, that's us, y'all. That's an image of spiritual warfare. In our lives, there are competing voices. In our lives, there are competing words whispering in our ear. There are things that are longing to get our attention, to get our heart, to get our soul. You are not alone in this. Every one of us in our life has those competing voices whispering to us at all times. Whispering to us at all times. We all have that. That's the life that we live. And so sometimes it's hard to quiet ourselves and listen for God's voice. Because this world gets loud, y'all. Your work gets loud, y'all. Your hobbies get loud. And probably loudest of all is your fears. And so the devil works in tandem with the world to drown out the voice of God in our lives. To drown out the voice of the one calling us to something better. To drown out the voice of the one that's calling us to true life. To drown out the one calling us to hope and peace and joy and these type things. The devil and the world longs to so drown out God's voice in our head that we are paralyzed. And we don't even know which way to go. This month we've talked about this series of the unbaptized arm. Story of the Greek king who, when he was getting baptized, the Russian Tsar, when he was getting baptized, the church he was joining would not let soldiers join. So when he was immersed, he held his sword out the water and saying, "No, God, you can't have this. You can't have this arm. This arm is mine." And in our lives, we have unbaptized arms. And in your life, in my life, in all of our lives, we have things we've not given to God. We have arms that we've held out the water and said, no, God, you can't have this. This one right here, this is mine. You can have all of me, but you can't have this. And we all have a this that we're not given to God. And the irony is life actually is found when we allow God to have it. Because in God, we find more life than we could ever find imaginable. In God, we actually find purpose and find hope and find peace and find something to live for. So when we submerge the arm and give it to God, we actually find something worth living for. But there's that voice. There's that voice we all hear. Maybe God's calling you to tithe. Maybe you've felt God place that conviction on you about not giving. And so you say, yeah, I'm gonna do it this year. And that voice says, why are you going to do that? No one knows. Doesn't matter. You know, what difference does it make? Don't worry about it. You know, what about this? You know, you need that money. No, don't tithe. Nah, don't worry about it. Maybe you felt God calling you to teach. It's a big church. They have enough teachers. After all, you can't teach. Why are you even thinking about that? You'll be a failure. Don't try that. No. Stay in your comfort zone. Don't get out. Maybe you're feeling God called by God to serve. Maybe you're feeling God to go on the mission field or to go to. Maybe God's not calling you to do anything in church. Maybe God's calling you to witness to your coworker. We both know the mistakes you've made in your life. Why are you so stupid to think God could ever use you? We know what you've done. Just sit down, be quiet, and hush. There's no way God can ever use you. We've heard those voices, haven't we? We've heard those voices that tell us, no, don't get up. Those voices that tell us, no, don't try that. Don't take a risk. Don't take a leap. Don't do that. There's no way it'll work. And even if it'll work, it's not worth doing. And even if it's worth doing, you're not good enough to do it. Don't try. Just sit there, be quiet, and don't try. Don't worry about giving. Don't worry about serving. Don't worry about witnessing. Don't even dare think about giving your heart completely to Christ. No. It's not worth it. There's too many unknowns. There's too many things that could go wrong. There's too many fears we have to fully embrace God. Don't even try. That's the voice we hear upon our shoulders, aren't we? Don't we? You don't have to nod to acknowledge it, but we all hear it. Our fears, y'all, come from two places. One's up here, and one's right here. I want to read to you this morning quickly two verses of Scripture to combat those fears. First, we're going to read from 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 and following. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of Christ, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. We take every thought captive to Christ. Your mind's going to say, no, I can't do this. Y'all, if you really are going to take a risk for God, if you are really going to take a risk for God, you're going to have a million reasons come through your head why you shouldn't do it. I promise you, whatever God's calling you to do right now, if you take a commitment to do it, you're going to have a million reasons pop in your head why you can't do it. A million. And I'm not exaggerating. You're going to have every excuse possible come to your mind. You're going to have every reason why you shouldn't do it come to your mind. You're going to have everything that could go wrong come to your mind. You're going to have every reason why it's not worth it come to your mind. We must take these thoughts captive to Christ. He is bigger than our thoughts. And yes, you may have stuff that can go wrong, but you know who's bigger than the stuff that can go wrong? God. Do you believe that? Do you believe God's bigger than that? I want to hear you, church. Do you believe God's bigger than that? Really? Do you believe God's bigger than that? He is bigger than your fears. Do you believe it? He's bigger than your doubts. Do you believe it? He's even bigger than the stuff that can and will go wrong, because he is bigger than that. Do you believe it? Take every thought captive to Christ. Yes, your fears are there, but God is bigger. Never forget that. All the million excuses are going to come here, y'all. I'm telling you. They're going to come. And when these thoughts come, take them captive to Christ. Remember, he is bigger. I mean, yeah, you may have something legitimate to fear, but what is that small pebble of doubt when compared to the God of the universe? What do we have to fear? Nothing. Remember that. Take every thought captive to Christ, every one of them, and know he is bigger. Okay, that's the intellectual side. You know, we all struggle with that. Only thing bigger than our brain is our heart. And we can think, yeah, I know God's bigger than that. But my neighbors aren't. And they know what I've done. Yeah, I know God's bigger than that, but my coworkers aren't. And they know what I've done. If the devil can't get you here, he's going to get you here. He won't give you a million reasons why it go wrong. He'll give you a million reasons why you're not worthy to do it. He'll give you a million reasons why somebody else is better than you to do that. He'll give you a million things you recall to recall upon your heart of times when you have failed. If he finds this won't work, he'll go after this. And for most of us, he has more success getting us here than he does getting us here. So for that, I want to turn to 1 John 4, verse 18. One simple verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. There is no fear in God's love. There is no fear in the embrace of God. Are you worthy? No, you're not. Neither am I. God's love is bigger than that. Have you made mistakes? Yeah, you have. So have I. God's love is bigger than that. God's love casts out all fear. Okay, y'all? All fear is cast out in the glory of God's love. And I don't know what your fear is. Maybe your fear is a past mistake. Maybe your fear is anxiety. Maybe your fear is a current mistake. Maybe your fear is financial. Maybe your fear is for your marriage. Maybe your fear is for your children. Maybe your fear is that you feel unworthy. But in your heart right now, there's a fear that is making you hold that sword up. There's a fear that's thrusting your arm out the water. There's a fear in your life that's saying, no, don't give this to God. Don't give your life to God fully. Don't give this thing to God fully. Don't keep that for you. There is a fear that's keeping that arm out the water. And what I'm telling you is that God is bigger than that fear. The devil will give you a million reasons why it won't work. Take those thoughts captive to Christ. God is bigger than that. Whatever the fear is upon your heart, whatever it is, y'all, perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible says something about the devil. It says he is the father of all lies. Guys, you know what those fears are? They're lies. Those millions of reasons placed in your head why you can't do it, they're all lies. Those millions of hurt against your heart that says God doesn't love you, they're all lies. Perfect love casts out all fear. God is bigger than the devil, and good will win, and love will triumph over fear. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. There is one repeated constant over and over throughout again Scripture. Do not fear, for I am the Lord your God. This morning, we are all dealing with fears. Every Sunday morning, I wake up thinking, uh-oh, this is the Sunday nobody's coming to church. I'm not joking. I'm serious. No, really. I'm serious. Every Sunday I fear, okay, this day they're going to figure out that I'm not really good. This is the Sunday they're going to see through all the spit and blubber and realize he's a sinner. Every Sunday I fear that. God's bigger. God's bigger than your mistakes. God's bigger than the fears on your heart, and God's bigger than the fears in your mind. Therefore, take every thought captive to Christ. Those millions of reasons why you can't, I've got one reason why you can. Jesus Christ. And every hurt upon your heart about why you're not worthy to do it, I've got one why you can. There's an empty tomb with your forgiveness all over it. I'm not saying there's not stuff here, and I'm not saying there's not stuff here, but I am saying this, God's bigger. And everything here and everything here is a lie. You're a child of God. Bought for a purpose, bought for a price, given for him. And God is bigger than your fears. And today is the day we let it go. Today is the day we give it to him. Today is the day we say no more. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of living afraid. I'm tired of living for what can't be. I want to live in what can be. I'm tired of living in what can't be. I want to live in what can be. I'm tired of living in the past. I want to live in God's glorious future. I'm tired of living in shame. I want to live in glory. I'm tired of living in doubt. I want to live in faith. I'm tired of living in hatred. I want to live in love. Today is the day we baptize that fear. Today is the day we give it to God, and we know the power of God's forgiveness and the power of God's grace and the power of God's life. God is bigger than your fears. He wants to have them today. He's bigger than whatever your fears. Today's the day. Today's the day. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh, no, you never let go. God is bigger. No matter what you're facing, God is bigger. May we live out of faith, not out of fear. Let us pray.